Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the great question today, the question that demands to be answered by everyone, whether it's verbal or otherwise: is America in a revolution? Are we today faced with the revolutionaries and their move to destroy the fundamental foundation of America via destroying of our Constitution, and with it, the Bill of Rights being eviscerated? But ladies and gentlemen, just before our news break, I was reading from an open letter that Dr. James Dobson has mailed out to 800,000 Christians regarding the election. And just before the break, and I want to read it again, a portion of it, for the re-emphasis of what he is saying. There are a lot of people today that I've heard, and you've heard, and perhaps you've said, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump. He's too crude. I'm not going to vote for Trump because he's too brash. I'm not going to vote for Trump because he's too brazen in his statements and his remarks. Well, Dr. Dobson said, and he's restating from a email that his wife Shirley had received from a friend, and says, this is not a junior high or high school popularity personality contest. I'm not voting for a person. I'm voting for the platform. And listen to what this person says. Let it sink in, and let that be an understanding that we need to have for this election. This writer says, I'm voting for the Second Amendment. I'm voting for the next Supreme Court justice. I'm voting for the Electoral College. I'm voting for the republic in which we live. I'm voting for the police and for law and order. I'm voting for the military and the veterans who fought and died for this great country. I'm voting for the flag that is often missing from the public events. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion and not be censored for it. I'm voting for the secure borders. I'm voting for the right to praise God without fear. I'm voting for every unborn soul that is at risk of being murdered by way of abortion. I'm voting for freedom and the American dream. I'm voting for good and against evil. I'm not just voting for one person. I'm voting for the future of my great country. Further, Dr. Dobson says this. I want to add to that writer's list. I'm also voting for the candidate who will exercise sound leadership internationally. I'm voting for those who will support Israel. I'm voting for those who will protect children from the leftist curricular. I'm voting for the nation's physical integrity. I'm voting for parental rights. I'm voting for the school choice and home education. I'm voting for freedom in the suburbs. I'm voting for Little Sisters of the Poor and other Christian organizations. I'm voting for a racial unity. I'm voting for support in God We Trust and school prayer. I'm voting for freedom of conscience for physicians and other professionals. I'm voting for marriage. I'm voting for life in all of its dimensions. I'm voting against euthanasia and against physician-assisted suicide. I'm voting for wisdom in handling the pandemic. I am voting for the protection of the church and from oppressive political leaders and politicians. End quote. Further, it is about our Constitution and the immutable God-given rights it protects. It is about our values, about truth and greatness and hope. That's why the notion of choosing a president based on some frivolous personality characteristics is so unfortunate in our nation. He footnotes this, says, if you love America and don't want it to be fundamentally transformed, it's time to do three things. Pray like never before that God will spare this great nation from tyranny, oppression, and religious liberty. Pray for volunteers to help your candidate. Pray for the candidates who will best uphold our values and our convictions. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that was excerpts from a letter by Dr. James Dobson sent to 800,000 Christians, as he said, the last letter that he sends out before the election. I don't know of any more somber thought than he has just outlined in his letter. I don't know of anything else that would make it seem any more important than it really is today. Let me read you an excerpt from a writing by Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham says, "Thankfully, under the current administration, our religious liberties have been protected and preserved through a number of executive orders and appointments of conservative judges and justices. Through executive actions, the right to life for unborn and the freedom up for the Christian organizations and professionals to practice according to their sincerely held religious beliefs have been advanced and upheld. However, as the 2020 election draws near, I have a dire warning for Christians. This wonderful season of progress for the cause of religious freedom and moral biblical values we hold so dear could very quickly and perhaps even permanently be reversed. Voters are choosing between two polar opposite visions for America, one that threatens to send our country spiraling down the dangerous road of socialism, and one that promises to uphold the constitutional freedoms our nation is built upon while making America the envy of the world. Look what is happening in the streets of our cities in Oregon, Washington, Illinois, Wisconsin, New York. Lawlessness, anarchy, violence, and arson are rampant. Rioters are bent on mayhem and destruction. Police precincts have been torched, stores looted, businesses ruined. Incredibly, the authorities in some of these places have simply let it unfold without any repercussions for the perpetrators. The progressive leftists who are driving the socialist agenda want more power to be vested in the federal government so that they will have more authority to control those who disagree with them." This is coming from Franklin Graham, ladies and gentlemen. "It's all about power. It's all about control. It's all about preying on the weak and the vulnerable. Make no mistake, socialism is the precursor to communism, where the state has absolute control over we the people. We've seen this play out miserably in places like Eastern Europe, the Soviet Union, Cuba, and Venezuela. History teaches us that if the progressive socialist leftist can seize power, Christians especially will be targeted. Believers will always refuse to bow to the power of the state if it asks us to disobey the scriptures. And the left believes they can force us to betray our biblical conscience and biblical beliefs," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject. Is America in a revolution? I believe that we are. I believe that we're in the very midst of a revolution. In fact, one of the best texts in all of the Bible that outlines and spells out a revolution at a governmental time of re-election, if you please, is found in 2 Chronicles, the 10th chapter. In 2 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, and I've had the privilege of publishing the work on that subject, I opened the introduction. Part of the introduction pages says, "We're seeing corrosion of freedom every day. A war against Christianity unlike anything we could ever have envisioned for America. We're looking at disdain for all of human life, a depth of immorality and perversion beyond any description, an arrogancy toward the citizens, a complete disregard for truth at every level, and absolute silence of the voices of the moral majority in America, a slide towards socialism unlike anything we could ever imagined a few years ago, a Marxist, socialist, Islamic, tyrannical disregard for our Constitution and our freedoms, as well as our free capitalistic system of government. A fundamental change," ladies and gentlemen, as was voiced by Barack Hussein Obama, "and is being carried out today by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. A fundamental change is a Marxist term in our American system of government." And ladies and gentlemen, I go on to talk about what is taking place in that realm. It is a fight between Rehoboam and Jeroboam for the control of the people by way of the presidency, as we would call it today. And it is the request. In fact, in verse 10 of that 10th chapter, "The young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. And thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastened you with a whip, but I will chastise you with scorpions. That's the response. That's the answer. That's the attitude. So verse 15, so the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole thing is that between those two, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they were fighting over the throne. And Patrick Henry said on one occasion, the Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government. And I think we need to understand that. And this book that I'm holding in my hand, Is It Time for Revolution?, is yours with no cost. It is a $13 book, less than 100 pages, but it's a verse-by-verse commentary on 2 Chronicles chapter 10. It is a wonderful study. If you want to know what a rebellion and a revolution is like, read the text. Read the 10th chapter of 2 Chronicles, the 19 verses, and this book will be a good supplement to what you read in that. And for every caller today, 831-0917, we'll send that book to you at no cost. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand what we're faced with in society today. Today we're witnessing what I call an open escalation of a revolution in America. The Black Lives Matter, BLM, which has nothing to do with the pigmentation of the skin, but is a Marxist, Maoist, communist organization that set out to destroy the American constitutional way of life. And Antifa is the same. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that I'm saying that, some people think that it's a black organization. It started by three black women that brag about the fact that they're highly trained Marxist, which is a terminology that's used for Maoism and for communism. They're highly trained in the Communist Party's movement to overthrow a society and to overthrow the United States of America. But you watch the BLM thugs out on the street. The overwhelming majority of them are white Marxists that have the idea that we want to overthrow the capitalistic system in America, because they've been taught that by the socialist, Marxist, communist professors in our colleges and universities, paid for with taxpayer dollars. But ladies and gentlemen, it's Rush Limbaugh that says this. The Democrats are staging a revolution against America. Dateline September the 29th, 2020. Talk show radio host Rush Limbaugh says the Democrats in America right now are staging a revolution against our great nation. It's because their motivation is the belief that our country is irredeemably unjust. Quote, we're living in a revolution, an actual revolution, not just in word. There's an actual revolution taking place in America today. The American left is revolting against America as founded. They are not the Democratic Party of old. This is not the Democrats versus the Republicans. This is Americans, American Marxist and communist, conducting a revolution against America as founded. This is to say, multiculturalism, which has taken over the Democratic Party, constitutes a revolutionary movement. I do not mean a metaphorical revolution. It is not like a revolution. It is a revolution. An attempt to overthrow the American founding, as President Trump said in his excellent Mount Rushmore speech on July the 4th. Trump versus Biden is the choice between a man who believes America is good and a man who is controlled by a movement that believes America is bad. Trump believes America is good. You believe America is good. I believe America is good. America is a great place for decent people. It is the home for decent, hardworking, self-reliant people who love family, who love God, who love their country, who revere the Constitution, and above all, who revere the importance of freedom and liberty for all. Rush further says, this election is a contest between Donald Trump, who believes America is good, and a man, Joe Biden, who is controlled by a movement that believes that America is bad. Or to put it another way, between a man who wants to preserve the American way of life and a man who will end up destroying the American way of life, end quote. He further explained, quote, this is not a policy election. This is a regime decision, a way of life election. one way of life, the traditional American way of life, is based on individual rights, rule of law, and the shared understanding of the common good. Government's role is to create the conditions for freedom to flourish, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how that strikes you, but I am absolutely mortified at the thought, horrified at the potentiality of seeing America go the way of all other nations. Just look at Venezuela. Venezuela, they control the educational system. They control the healthcare system. Ultimately, they removed the right to keep and bear arms. And then now, and as of now, it is dominated by socialist, Marxist, communist regime that's in total control of the Venezuelan people. Venezuelan people having to eat out of trash cans, garbage cans, refuge piles to just have a morsel of food to eat. And yet, we're told today by the thugs that if we overthrow America and have a socialistic, communistic system, that everybody will be fed, everybody will have medical care, everybody will have health and wealth and fortune, as I would call it. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party, including Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and Ilhan Omar, are all pushing this revolution to remake America. In fact, it was Ilhan Omar that said, we must tear down America and remake it as we envision it, end quote. That's a Marxist thought. That's a socialist Marxist endeavor. But ladies and gentlemen, that's coming out of the mouth of an Islamic jihadist that's illegally in America, that's illegally here, that her INS papers should be revoked and refused, and she should be absolutely returned back to her home. Ladies and gentlemen, she was married to three different men. One of them was her brother in order to get him here illegally. She is now harvesting ballots in Minnesota, several hundred thousand. She's been caught with undercover video that she's carrying it out. And yet the thing that is so distressing to me is that our legal system, our justice system, is not carrying out its responsibility to rightly prosecute her, put her in jail, and or totally deport her because of what she's doing. But it's people like that that stand for the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Party called the Democrats that's going to destroy America if we put the wrong person in office. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the revolution. Thugs in the streets, burning, rioting, pillaging, destroying. In fact, the insurance companies say that it's over $2 billion already expended on insurance claims as a result of the Marxists in the streets today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the BLM is a Marxist, Maoist, communist organization that operates with the blessing and approval of Nancy Pelosi and the entire Democratic Socialist Marxist Communist Party. Here's an article that says a photojournalist went undercover to expose white supremacists at riots, but found black blocks of anarchists instead. Photojournalist Jeremy Quinn was furloughed this year. So he set out to document the protest of the riots that beset the cities across the U.S. following the death of George Floyd. Quinn expected to discover white supremacists causing havoc and violence in the streets, but what he actually found shocked him. Violent left-wing anarchists who are extremely well-organized to overthrow America. On May 31st, Quinn covered a Black Lives Matter protest in Santa Monica, California, where suburban moms were kneeling. Then he was alerted to a shoe store being looted about 1 mile away. He arrived to find young people pouring out of the stores, shoeboxes under their arms, but there was something odd about the scene. Ferris Stockton wrote in the New York Times, a group of men dressed entirely in black milled around nearby like supervisors. One wore a creepy rubber Halloween mask. The next day, Quinn went to another protest, and another store was being looted. A white man wearing all black smashed the windows of the store with a crowbar, but he walked away without stealing anything. Further, the article states, he found that these destructive forces, true believers, were true believers in the insurrectionist anarchism in America to overthrow our constitutional government. For the next 4 months, Quinn marched along with the Black Bloc anarchists in a half a dozen cities across the country. And ladies and gentlemen, it's about a five-page article. It goes into detail each of the cities he went into and what he found. One statement here says, insurrectionist anarchist ideology and rhetoric, however, has permeated into the social justice movement with blazing efficiency. Many of the left-wing extremists consider themselves insurrectionist anarchists, some which advocate using crimes like arson and shoplifting and burning to wear down and tear down the capitalistic system. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, this article then concludes there are experts at unraveling these Marxists now, experts at unraveling the older order by considerably less skill at building a new one. That's why even at more than 100 days of protest in Portland, Oregon, activists do not agree on a set common goal policy to restore law and order. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is taking place in America is nothing less than a revolution to overthrow the constitutional republic called the United States of America. Here's an article that says the BLM ties to Marxist groups spotlighted in a new video. Scenes from the video produced by Choose Freedom presenting evidence of the ties of Black Lives Matter leaders to foreign communist groups. A new video by researcher Trevor Loudon presents evidence that Black Lives Matter is tied to a foreign communist government and terrorist organizations through its three co-founders. Patrice Cullors has boasted at an interview of being a trained Marxist, highly trained Marxist, along with Alicia Garcia, the third co-founder, Opal Tamia, is a known supporter of the Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro. Tamita and Garcia are involved with German revolutionary organizations called Rosa Luxemburg, which was established by former East German communist leaders to build a new wave of international socialist revolution around the world. Louder's video notes that a group with direct ties to Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese Progressive Association, is the main funder of Black Lives Matter. Choose Freedom describes itself as an initiative aimed at clarifying the stark difference between the tyranny that is inevitably the result of Marxist revolutions and the liberties guaranteed in the United States Constitutional Republic. Given a choice, we believe informed Americans will choose freedom rather than willingly opting to live under oppressive regimes that rule according to the totalitarian agenda of socialism and communism. We need to choose freedom, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is the unraveling, unhinging of the American way of life. And it's being carried out by what I call the mushheads, the airheads, those in the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age groups, that's been told for all of these years as they've come out of the prestigious colleges and universities with what they look at and view as good credentials, but their heads been filled with rot in that they hate America, they want to destroy America, they believe that American way of life is wrong, the capitalistic system ought to be overthrown, and that somehow, some way, they're the ones that are responsible for forming a new nation, and they're in the process through revolutionary acts to do so. Here's an article that says, America and freedom hangs in the balance. This article starts out with saying this. Have you ever looked around America lately? Do you even recognize the nation that you grew up in? How could a nation founded on Christian principles so easily yield to the forces of darkness? How has the church become so oblivious to what's going on around us? How can we not understand that the devil is trying to destroy everything that is good? How can we not understand that what we're facing is a war for the very soul of our great nation? The battle is not political, but it involves politics. This is the most consequential moment in American history, at least since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. America is at war. We're watching a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. This article further states, did you know that there are an estimated 224 million evangelical Christians in America? And did you know that majority of them, a multitude of them, did not vote in the last election? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as this writer states, and it's coming from Matthew 12:26, did you know that Jesus warned us that a house divided against itself cannot stand? What if all Christians voted the same as you're voting? Ladies and gentlemen, are you looking forward to a vote? Are you registered to vote? Are you going to come out of the bed and out of the closet and vote? Are you going to recruit others that are not registered to vote? This is the last day of the registration to be able to vote in the November the 3rd election. Ladies and gentlemen, we understand what is going to take place if Joe Biden is elected. Here's an article that comes out of Decision Magazine, October edition. And it talks about Joe Biden. Joe Biden says, "We defend religious liberty against violent extremists, but never use it as a cover for discrimination. Rather, we will restore the leadership of the LGBTQ issue and amplify the voices of the LGBTQ persons around the world." Ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about the perverts, the sodomites, those that want to prey on our children. It's bad enough to find what is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, in state after state after state, particularly in the state of California, where they're legalizing sodomy. They're legalizing the pedophilia. They have passed a Senate bill. The governor has signed it that gives the authority to the perverts and the pedophiles to have sex with 8-year-old children and up, and have no recrimination and no legal responsibility. They'll not be fined, prosecuted, put in jail, or otherwise. It's simply open season on the children in the United States of America today, and that under Joe Biden's administration will be okay. Without any equivocation, it will be broadened with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, at the same time this is taking place, we're finding Christians being persecuted and prosecuted. Here's an article, and I've read this before on the broadcast. Idaho police arrest 3 Christians singing hymns during outdoor worship services. 3 Christians were arrested in Moscow, it's talking about Moscow, Idaho, on Wednesday evening for participating in outdoor worship services. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on with articles where Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted as a result of their Christian stand and our morals and our values. Here's an article that says, Virginia forces Christian ministries to adopt government ideology or pay a $100,000 fine. That's a new law, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Virginia, where we find the governor in the state of Virginia, just as the governor in the state of Michigan, are trying to overthrow the will of the people and disrupt anything that's called a law or a land by we the people. This article goes into great detail. It says, but Virginia's new law forces ministries to abandon and adjust their consciences or pay crippling fines in direct violation of Virginia's constitution and the state laws. Yet it is by fiat. It is by executive order. Here's a little gleam of hope here. Michigan Supreme Court rules that Whitmer's exceeded powers during the coronavirus pandemic. Lansing, Michigan, the Michigan Supreme Court has ruled that Governor Gretchen Whitmer exceeded her powers during the coronavirus pandemic. In a split 4-3 ruling, the majority opinion of justices say Whitmer lost the authority to continue state of emergency for the coronavirus pandemic after April the 30th, when the Michigan legislature declined to extend it. However, Whitmer appointed her orders going to remain in force for the next 21 days until the Supreme Court ruling takes place. After that, she said many of her orders will remain in place under alternative sources of authority that were not issued in today's ruling. In other words, she says, we're going to circumvent the will of the people. We're going to circumvent the will of the Supreme Court, and we're going to simply carry out our executive orders of controlling the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
7 p.m. Wednesday, Fellowship Meal, Bible Study, Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.